Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Okay, Brandon, I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but I will. If you like the Smarticle Podcast, please, would you tell your mom? Would you tell your Aunt Sally? Would you please put it on the internets, the social medias, and let people know to listen to the Smarticle Podcast? Brandon works very hard. I don't work very much. Brandon works very hard. It would pay off if you would forward this to a friend and say, listen to the Smarticle Podcast. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandon, let's put on our big boy pants today. I might have to ice my brain after this. Here's the headline. The Federalist Society isn't quite sure about democracy anymore.
Ooh.
After recent Supreme Court wins, the Society's youth arm debates the next stage for the conservative legal movement. We got our big boy pants from Politico. Ian Ward writes this article.
Ian Ward is definitely woke. He's a 22-year-old. I think he went to the same high school as, what's his name on the Supreme Court? The beer drinker, whatever.
Scalia?
No, the beer drinker. I always forget his name. He's the one, I went out with my boys and drank beer. Matt Damon did a great thing on him. Anyway, somebody else can correct us on that. I forget his name, but go ahead.
All right. So I feel like it's important to just give a little backstory before we get into this.
Okay.
There are Republicans. Ronald Reagan is a Republican. George Bush, both George Bushes, they're Republicans. Fiscal conservatives, smaller government, heavy on defense. There are some social issues as well, like abortion, blah, blah, blah. That's a Republican. There are wings of Republicans, like the Freedom Caucus, which has come onto the scene in the last 10 or so years. Marjorie Taylor is one of those. Donald Trump has sort of given voice to this wing. They're sort of the CPAC people. They're kind of crazy. You got me there so far?
I'm with you. I'm traveling with you.
Then there is this sneaky wing of the Republicans called the Federalist Society, which we don't hear a lot about. They're very smart, mostly quiet Republicans that become all of the judges and lawyers.
Well, we do hear a lot about them if you pay attention. But
most people don't. My wife would have no clue who these people are. If you're a Republican president and you're going to nominate a Supreme Court justice, they go to the Federalist Society and say, who can I nominate? Is that good?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot more to it than simply that. And then
once again,
wins, but
just so my mom can understand, that's what we're doing there.
They are a society that was started in 1982 of conservative law school students. They're a student organization, basically, that sort of morphed into a national organization. But they started off ultimately as student groups of conservative students at law schools and to answer what they saw as a left-leaning court. So that's kind of what the history is, basically.
Okay, I want to read two tiny snippets from this article. Joel Alicia is a law professor at Catholic University. At this point in our society, we can't even agree whether somebody is a man or a woman, which suggests such a deep level of moral disagreement and even disagreement about basic notions of reality that to say that society can form an overlapping consensus is hopelessly naive. One other quick note from this is a UCLA professor who says, what democracy does not mean was plebiscitary democracy or simple rule by democratic majorities. Citing the Federalist Papers, the namesake of the Federalist Society, this professor suggested that governance based on simple mathematical majorities would enable tyrannical domination of the minority by the majority. So here's how I took this article.
Okay.
The Federalist Society is seeing the writing on the wall. The demographics of this country are not going their way. White people are becoming the minority. If the majority of a vote, Republicans probably would never be voted a Republican president again. So the Federalists are saying we have to give more control now to the minority of this country, which is white people.
Well, I think it's people that have a certain view, a conservative view that they would roll up into that. So there's a lot going on in this article. This is a really great article from Politico. This kid, so basically this 22-year-old kid from Brooklyn, lives in Brooklyn, says that a lot. He goes to this conference in Texas, this Federalist Society conference in Texas. He's not undercover. They know who he is, but he sort of goes around and interviews people. It's not an opinion piece, but it reads a little bit like an opinion piece. So there has to be a little bit of context to the Federalist Society in order to understand it. For years, the Federalist Society basically said, and this was a mantra of the Republican Party, this is the Republican Party I grew up in, this is what I truly do believe,
fiscal governments.
Yeah, simple. Less government is better. And in terms of, we need to allow local communities to decide for themselves how they want to handle things. That's
correct.
Where democracy lives.
Where I grew up as well.
So, right. So the Federalist Society said forever, and Republicans said forever, is, hey, leave it in the hands of the people. Don't let the courts legislate. Yeah. So there's three branches of government: executive, legislative, judicial, and each one has their role. And the Federalist Society was saying the judicial branch's role, and this is from its foundation, is to determine what the law says and go no further. This goes back to the Federalist Papers, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, I think John Jay, right? So they wrote these articles when they were forming the country to decide what a democracy would look like. And in this article even says, we're not a democracy, we are a republic. We are a representative democracy, yeah. Which means I elect somebody to go speak for me. I do not have a direct vote in my democracy. Now, we can have a direct vote in our local communities. The Federalists have always said this. What this article basically is saying is the Federalists have shifted now. They saw the writing on the wall. They saw that liberal judges were starting to take control, or that sort of, the as you say, the majority was starting to shift away from what they thought. So they said, hey, we're not going to win in the small, we're not going to win in the local anymore. We're not going to win in the legislative process or with the executive. We're going to win in the courts. So what they've basically done is they've gotten, in a sense, radical judges on the court to legislate. That's what they accused the liberal progressives of doing forever, and they did. But now they're doing the same thing. So the argument really is, what kind of democracy are we going to be? Are we going to be a democracy as established by our founders, or are we going to be something different? Now, this is also a little bit of a clickbait title. Like, are we, you know, do they want a democracy? Yeah, of course they do, but everyone in democracy wants their way. It's insulting to say that only the liberals should be able to think about that.
But so here's my point. In life, nobody gets their way. I grew up in a family. There were times when I got my feelings hurt.
We find compromise.
You have to. Like, it's just in life, if we wanted to move out of the cave, Brandon, we had to get along and be like, hey, we should probably go find water over there. My family, I don't get the family I grew up in, my current family, my work, there's nothing I get my way on. It is all compromise. Our country is all compromise. And the thing that pisses me off about Marjorie Taylor Greene on the right and AOC on the left is that, hey, man, we got to compromise. You're not going to get your way. We got to compromise.
Right.
And the thing that ticks me off the most about the current Roe v. Wade is overturned is, just like you said, these conservative ass judges got on and overturned that law that, by the way, the majority of Americans were okay with. We just have to get back to this. Let's do what the majority thinks.
Well, yes and no in terms of what you're saying about this Roe v. Wade.
Don't say Dobbs Roe v. Wade was a bad law. Don't
no,
say it was
no,
a bad
that's
law.
Not what I'm saying. The Dobbs case, their argument was that judges legislated and that it needs to be handled. I'm just saying they went back to saying the states need to decide this. That's all I'm saying. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm saying that's what they said. So I agree with you 100%. If you were paying attention this weekend, a transgender woman won a big cycling race in New York City. I mean, she just like destroyed the field, and people were all up and no, but that's important. And
no,
the reason
no,
it's
I,
important
I agree
is
with
because
you. I agree with you.
Most Americans are like, well, that's not fair. But
I
the
agree.
AOC types on the other side are like, this is the way it's got to be. We transgender people deserve. I'm all for transgender people. I don't care. Like, if you want to do, but it's about fairness. You can't compete in a race when you're biologically a man against women. It's proven. They keep winning.
Yeah.
Let's stop with so there's nonsense on both sides.
Totally.
And it's that idea that somehow we all have to get on board. That's what fuels the Marjorie Taylor Greens, is when people say, when you look at that and you go, well, that's silly. Why do we do that? Because this 1% of 1% of 1% of transgender people need to be supported. I'm like, look, man, if I'm transgender, and you give me the legal rights and protections of society, but I can't run a race against women because I'm biologically a man, I got to be okay with that. That's the compromise. Now, you could say I don't like it, but that's the compromise. So that's the problem, is that the progressives on the left have not been willing to compromise at all on anything. So now the Republicans are just doing the same thing. And I'm not saying that Republicans would have ever compromised on transgender issues or anything else. But all it's doing is pushing a pendulum back the other way, because no one's willing to actually have a reasonable conversation.
You know this way better than me. Countries, kingdoms, territories get overturned and ruined because the people at the top are paying attention to the large majority at the bottom.
Right.
If we keep the Federalist Society keeps getting their ways with these judges and keeps ruling against how the majority of the people feel, that just doesn't bode well for our country.
No, it doesn't. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's really important. You said, you know, your wife doesn't know anything about this. Well, you know what? A democracy requires an educated population. It truly does. It's one of the reasons why public education is so important. If for nothing else, to teach civics, to teach Americans, hey, you have a duty. If you're part of this country, you have an obligation by being born here to understand at least the basic ideas of the country. You cannot sit back and say, well, I don't know anything about that. Well, okay, then learn something about that because it's important. I don't mean to say everybody needs to be a policy wonk, but people need to understand at least the local issues as they are so that they can't be manipulated. Perfect example, in California, you guys have all the initiative balloting, which is horrible. Proposition voting is a joke. Because it's so easy to manipulate all the dumb voters because they're not paying attention. And you know what? To be fair, when you're working and you're just trying to pay the bills, take care of your kids and do those things, you don't have time to worry about all the fine print in a law. That's the reason why we elect legislators who can go battle that stuff out. That's one of the reasons why we shouldn't have proposition voting. So going back to this Federalist Society, I personally have always liked a lot of things the Federalist Society pushed for.
Ooh,
I just don't like when people get sneaky. By the way, they were instrumental in Citizens United, Clinton versus Citizens United, which has destroyed how our elections are run. They're a big problem with that. So they've done a lot of really crappy things. They've also pushed for a dialogue. I don't know if you were paying attention, but this last week, the DEI, assistant DEI coordinator at Stanford University, led a group of students over to protest a Federalist Society speaker at the law school. And I'm like, wait a second. Would you have led a protest if it was a progressive liberal judge that was speaking at the law school? Of course not. So wait a second. You can't have it both ways. You've got to basically decide that everyone has the right to speak and you don't have to like it, but that's what the First Amendment guarantees us.
Okay, so I think we're going to agree that the world is getting way more confusing and complex than it is simple, right?
Sure.
Transgender issue, immigration,
ChatGPT, everything.
Good lot. It's getting so more complicated and complex. And so then how do you decide these big fundamental decisions that we as Americans have to make?
The same way we've always decided them, Larry.
But my point is this. If it's a room of 9 white dudes that got nominated from the Federalist Society, that's just not going to work.
Yes. And you know what? There have been pendulum swings both ways forever. Here's the thing. When this country was founded, the argument was, how are we going to govern it? The Federalist Papers were written because there was a certain group of people that said, hey, we don't need to have a Bill of Rights. The government is going to be benevolent and good, and they're going to take care of the people. And they're like, no, we need to have rights written down. We need to guarantee these rights because we just fought a revolution against a country that didn't give us basic human rights. So the Federalists were in big part pushing for that. It's an idea of big government versus small government. Alexander Hamilton was like, his idea was that there should just be this educated elite that runs the country because they're smart. They've read all the rules and they know all the laws and they know they're going to be good to people. Well, the other side was like, that's crazy. Rich people aren't going to look out for everybody that's there, or elite people aren't going to look out for the little guy. So there's always been a tension around this. Always. We are just seeing another modality, this tension. And I know you love to get on me about the social media, but a big part of the reason why this tension is now existing is because people have this giant echo chamber that they can shout into with other people that agree with them, as opposed to actually having to have real conversations with people face to face. That just doesn't happen anymore. That's a big part of the problem.
Because you brought up Alexander Hamilton, do we got to sing something? I'm going to get my shot. I'm going to get my... That's the only song. What's the other one?
You don't know any... come on, bro. I'm not even going to get one? It. What do you mean?
So I don't know. I mean, I know them, but they're just not coming to my head at this point.
All right.
I knew that this had a civic headline in our title today, so I knew you were going to lose my mind and just spit good knowledge at me. I really appreciate it. Actually, really appreciate you teaching me about the Federalist Society today, Brandon.